Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Andrea Wood. I'm the practitioner of the day. I go by the pronouns she and her. And my ancestors are from England, Scotland, and Ireland. I want to welcome everyone here this morning and to let you know that anyone wearing a stole, which today is me and Mary Ballou, are available for prayer after the service. And there are many other ways that we serve you as well. We have a prayer vessel in the back. You could put a prayer in, and I will pray for you this week. But join me right now in prayer. So know with me as I know that there is a magnificent, loving, supporting power back of all things that lives within all beings everywhere at the very core. This one presence is light, is love, is wisdom. And this one supports and uplifts. I live and move and have my being in this spirit. And this is true for me, this is true for all. And I know for our spiritual community of CSL Bellingham that we lead with loving kindness, that we evolve and grow in our compassion and in our wisdom as we come together to learn and to celebrate the day and to enjoy being together. And I'm so grateful for this truth, for this life, for our loving community. And I release my word, and so it is.
There's a Zen story that I need to tell you. I actually have told you this one before, so spoiler alert. However, there's a twist at the end. It starts out with a scholar who goes to see the Zen master. Now, this scholar has been studying this tradition for over 20 years, and he is so excited to tell the Zen master about everything he's learned. So he gets up to the top of the mountain where the Zen master is hanging out in his humble abode. And he starts telling the Zen master, "Oh my God, I have been studying this for 20 years. Let me tell you about all the sutras I know. Let me tell you about all the things that I know about this." And the Zen master is pouring them tea. And so he's pouring them tea, and he's pouring the tea, and the cup starts overflowing. And the guy says, wait, the cup's overflowing. And the Zen master says, "I know." And usually, this is a story about having an empty cup to receive. But in this case, the story is about the cup overflowing. Because that is the nature of the universe. The nature of the universe, it is ever giving and it is overflowing its abundance in and through us. If we are willing to see it, to know it, and to accept it. So what if that's exactly what reality is like? What if the universe is a Zen master pouring into our cup, but we don't even realize that it's happening? Good morning, everybody. I'm Reverend Abigail Shire, and my pronouns are she and her. And my ancestry hails from Ireland, Germany, and Prussia. And it is my honor to be with you today and honor the Coast Salish people whose land we are on today. And I love today's theme, which is about becoming a possibilitarian. But what if we're actually not a person who's looking for possibility, but what if we're somebody who already is the possibility? See, this month we've been exploring this idea of what if. And the first week we looked at, I talked about my thermostat, on how the thermostat had a set point of a lot colder, and I kept turning it up, and then it kept turning down. I kept turning it up, and it kept turning down. And then I realized that there was an underlying program that was operating in my thermostat, and I needed to have that come to my awareness. And that's just like our belief systems. We have underlying things that are operating in our awareness that we need to bring to light in order to shift and change them. And Reverend Don talked about the power of decision. And when we're open to the next step, that it is incumbent on us to actually make the decision to move forward. And we don't have to make a huge decision. We just need to step into the next right indicated thing. And then we explored the possibility of a shared vision, dreaming together, and asking what the world looks like if love wins. But this week is where the whole month has been pointing, because it's about oneness. It's about understanding the underlying principle of the universe and how we're connected to it. So back to the overflowing cup and the Upanishads. The Upanishads are the Hindu sacred texts. They were written over 3,000 years ago. And the first lines in these texts are, Purnan Ada, Purnan Ad Idam, which means this is full, that is full. Fullness comes from fullness. Take fullness from fullness, and fullness remains. Not, well, there will be enough if you earn it, or if you work hard enough, then there will be enough for you. But fullness is the unalterable nature of reality. You cannot exhaust it. You can only open to more of whatever is already endlessly flowing. Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of this teaching, he said, there is a presence, a power, a law. It's already complete. It's already whole. It's already perfect. And it's not something we create. It's something we discover. It's something we discover. I think about this. I've taught the abundance classes before, and the society I grew up in taught me that, imagine a pie. Imagine a pie. And if I take a piece of the pie and give it to you, my society says, well, there's a pie left minus that piece. But how the universe works is I take the piece, I give it to you, and I still have a full pie. And I had to shift my paradigm to be open to that possibility. Quantum physicists, as you all know, I'm a big quantum physics geek. And Amit Goswami is a person that I've followed for many, many years. And I actually was very lucky to have him as my teacher in ministerial school. And he describes a field that exists prior to matter, prior to any actual thing. And the field is a field which all possibilities exist simultaneously. Everything, every possibility, every potentiality is available in this field before matter exists. It's infinitely available, and it is rationing nothing. And in the double slit experiment, there's this idea that when an electron, for instance, goes through this double slit and is unobserved. It goes into a wave frequency, which means it waves out in all the directions. But when we observe it, when there's a consciousness, a person aware of it, it collapses all those possibilities into reality, into one single thing. And so our awareness helps reality collapse onto a possibility. And the question is, where are we in our awareness? What are we open to? I also love Joe Dispenza. I talk about him a lot too, because he talks about our physiology, our biology, and how our belief systems, our thinking and our feeling in our body can actually affect not just our own body, but the field around us, and how we can affect each other, but also how our thinking can affect our own bodies. For instance, we all have genes, and everybody inherited genes from their parents, and so genes are something where there could be certain things that unfold in our well-being that may be good or not so good because of our parents. However, much more is determined by our field of awareness. Much more. For instance, Joe Dispenza said, when a person genuinely inhabits a possibility, they don't hope for it, but they actually feel it in their body as if it's real. Then the brain responds to it as if it's happening, and the nervous system cannot tell the difference between a vividly held reality and an actual reality. And when we have that reality held in our body, genes open up in ways that allow our body to be in wellness and well-being. So it's interesting. So the field of ourselves and everybody around us affects our own biology. So that's not wishful thinking, that's physiology. So remember, the cup is overflowing. The field is full of possibilities. And the only variable is whether or not you believe it. And if you do, if you're open to it. So where are you treating possibility as scarce? Where are you treating possibility contingent on something? What if the universe is withholding nothing? What would that mean for you if you began every day noting that possibility is ever available? So point one, the field is already full of possibilities, infinite possibilities all the time. Point number two, it's your opportunity to hold the field of possibility for someone else when they need it. So I have a story for you, a woman I just found out about. Many people have heard about her, but I hadn't. I'm a little newbie here. Her name is Khadija. And this, imagine 7th century Mecca, a world where women were property. And Khadija somehow, remarkably, had become the most successful merchant in the country. In the city. And she owned her own trading operation. She was actually a free woman in a world where women were not free. And she hired many people, because she had a trading operation, and she hired this man named Muhammad. And she watched him carefully. He seemed remarkable. He seemed like a remarkable human being. And she really was so attracted to how amazing he was, that she decided to marry him. And one day, this man, Muhammad, came to her husband. He came to her, and he was shaking. He was like distraught and shocked, and he told her this story of that he had gone to this cave and he had seen this angel, this being that had told him he was a prophet, and there was information that was downloaded to him, and he was just in shock. And she said, "You're not losing your mind." Because he thought he was. He thought he was crazy. He'd seen something that was unbelievable. And she said, "You're being trusted with something unique and immense and sacred and important." She was the first Muslim. Not the Prophet Muhammad, but his wife. And she believed in him when he had not yet gotten there. The entire course of a religion now held by nearly 2 billion people pivoted on the fact that one person believed in somebody else. That's what a possibilitarian does. The field you exist in shapes what you become. Ernest Holmes said, "We're not just thinking beings. We are centers of consciousness in a universal field of mind. What we hold in mind about ourselves and about each other enters the field and shapes it. You are never a passive observer. You are always broadcasting. The only question is whether it's intentional or if it's accidental. So what are you broadcasting? Are you broadcasting fear or scarcity? Or what if you chose to deliberately broadcast? And what if you chose to believe in possibilities of some other person who might not be seeing it in themselves?" You see, I think that this is the key. One of the most important things is that as we have this idea that when we put our awareness around a reality, that it collapses into reality, it's not just one person doing that, it's everybody. And so we're not just a single person out there alone doing this, we're in a field of billions of people. And what we do has an impact on the collective. And we can actually shape how the collective shows up by being our own group of people who see a vision and then walk forward in that intention, the power of decision, moving forward in that intention and alignment with what that vision is. And we need each other. There's a Karen Drucker song, I really like it, and I think it's also really cheesy. It's like we're all angels with only one wing, and we need each other to fly. And I always think of like these angels that are like, you know, and then the other angels like, "Oh my God," and then they kind of like go together so they can fly. Just the image in my mind. So let's not just talk about it, let's do an activity. Go ahead and rise if you're able or if that works for you. You'll be standing for a couple minutes, so if that doesn't work for you, feel free to stay seated. Okay, so I want you to put your hand over your heart, your hand over your belly. And I want you to take a big breath in through your nose and a long breath out through your mouth. Now I want you to find a memory, not a concept of memory, a moment in your life where you felt genuinely alive and filled with possibility, when you knew without argument that there's something larger, something amazing happening. Maybe you feel it in nature, on a sunrise or a sunset. Maybe you feel it with a loved one. So feel that moment in your body. How does your body feel? Does it feel open? Maybe there's colors, maybe there's textures, vibrations, feeling tones. Just notice, what does it feel like to be in that moment? Does your heart expand? Now, without letting go of that feeling, bring to mind something that seems a little challenging. Maybe it's a relationship that feels difficult or a financial pressure. Something in the world that's difficult. Now notice if your body is contracting. Notice if you feel it in your body. And so I want you, if you're noticing that, I want you to bring back that feeling tone of possibility. Go back to that memory. See if you can recapture that energy in your body. And see if you can get there, that you just place that thing just in your heart space without any feeling attached to it, the challenging, difficult thing. See if you can be in the space of possibility and just place that thing in your heart space. Don't change it. Don't try and fix it. Just try and be in the space of possibility with both existing simultaneously. Is there a way where that possibility can unlock or untangle that feeling around the difficult thing? See if you can hold that difficult thing with something larger. Recognize the field as full. The universe is not daunted. The universe is infinite and expansive, with unlimited possibilities around this condition. Now breathe in. Breathe out. We're going to do that two more times. Breathe in possibility. Breathe out possibility. Breathe in possibility. Breathe out possibility. All right, you may be seated. So this is actually an exercise from Joe Dispenza. It's called Elevated Emotional State Anchoring. And so the idea is that you're training your nervous system to hold an elevated signal, an elevated experience into contact with a difficulty. And so instead of being collapsed or taken over by that difficulty, you remain in a state of possibility. So for your homework this week, is I want you to do that exercise every morning if you can, because spiritual practice means you actually get to practice it. And so know that that's not spiritual bypass. This is actually one of the most courageous things that you can do, is hold possibility real while fully acknowledging the challenge. So for me, my place that I went to was my installation ceremony. It was an amazingly, I mean, there's no words for how loved I felt, how supported I felt, how magical it was in my heart. And the challenging thing is my house hasn't sold yet. And that's been pulling me off. And so what I'm doing is I'm moving into that space of possibility and holding that energetic of possibility while this other outside circumstance is happening. So that's my practice along with you. So becoming a possibilitarian in this moment is not about transcending difficulty. It's about tuning in to who we truly are. So Ernest Holmes, again, he said, "The spirit within you is not limited by the past. It is always beginning again. And it is filled with unlimited possibility." There is a version of you that is moving through this world as a whole person. Nothing diminished, nothing taken away. And part of the call, I think, of being a possibilitarian is remembering that's exactly who you are and exactly who you are meant to be. The work is not to become one. The work is to remember who you really are. Let's pray. So I recognize and know that this thing I call the universe, spirit, it is an infinite field of possibility, and it's the ground being of love. It's the ground being of energy. It's the ground being of availability that I allow to flow through my life. So any space within me where I've been limited or constricted or contracted, I release and surrender that space. I open up the space to know that the universe is ever flowing in and through and around me, that I see and feel and know that I am fully supported at all times. I recognize and know that it is reflected in so many areas around me. And so I continue to see that. I continue to witness it. I continue to appreciate it. And in that space of appreciation, I also recognize and know and see that in the people around me, of who they truly are. I recognize and know that there is an infinite number of light workers in this world, of peace keepers, of radiators of love, of people who are willing to know and claim and embody and create a world that works for all. A world that works for our environment, for our planet, for our country, for our families. A world that is not limited by anything or diminished by anything. It is here, available for us to uplift, to step in it, to see it and to know it, and to discover it was here all along. We just had to say yes to it. So I say yes today. I'm grateful to know that it is unfolding and that I am a part of it, a sacred and holy part. And I'm grateful to know that the universe is unlimited. It fills me up to overflowing. And for that, I'm grateful. And so it is. Thank you.